What is up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Surfing the Stream, where every week we're on a quest to find out what is the greatest movie of all time. I am Matt Primo, joined by Josh Primo.
What's up, bitches?
This week, as we mentioned on last week's episode, we are reviewing Leave the World Behind, which is one of the, I think it's number one on Netflix over the last couple weeks since it's released. And full disclaimer, I saw this probably right when it released. I think it was like the 9th or the 10th, something like that, because it was getting a lot of buzz. And I wasn't expecting to review this, to be completely honest. I didn't think this was something that Josh wanted to review. And he just, on a whim, was like, are we going to review this? And I'm like, well, I'm down with that 100%. So here we are reviewing Leave the World Behind, a 2023 release. And as we jump into this review, this is going to probably be a little bit different of a review than we normally do. I think this movie has a lot of like hidden details, Easter eggs, that kind of thing. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. But we're also, I'm also going to be at the very end of this and probably throughout as well. Does this jump into my top 10? Of the year. Now, granted, it's not very hard to jump into the top 10 for this year because there really haven't been that many great movies. So take that for what it is. But super excited to talk about this movie with y'all. If you have not seen it, highly recommend go check it out and then come back to this review. But in the meantime, links down below to our Patreon, to our merch, and to all of our social media accounts. Like, subscribe, do all that bullshit. Really fucking helps us out. So thank you for clicking on this video and watching us talk about fucking movies every single week. But enough of that. Let's go ahead and jump into Leave the World Behind. A family's getaway to a luxurious rental home takes an ominous turn when a cyber attack knocks out their devices and two strangers appear at their door. I'm not going to lie. When I first read that synopsis, like before I even watched it, I totally thought it was going to be like a horror movie where it was like the strangers or some shit. And that is not what we got. Did you think about that?
No, I didn't ever picture it as that.
Oh, we got us a little cameo back there.
Doing a little photo bomb.
A little Kit Kat action. So this movie was directed by Sam Ishmael, something like that. He directed the movie Comet, never heard of it. He directed several of the Mr. Robot TV episodes and also a series called Homecoming. Never heard of that one. The only one I've heard of is Mr. Robot, but never watched it. The budget for this is unknown, and obviously since this is a Netflix movie, there's no real gross. So it stars Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali. I'm probably saying that wrong. Go fuck yourself. And
can I get a vowel?
that's the issue, sir. There's like six vowels in that name. And Ethan Hawke as well. It has a runtime of 2 hours and 18 minutes, and it was released December 8th, 2023. I have quite a bit of fun facts. Do you have anything before we jump into those, sir?
No.
So Denzel Washington was cast but dropped out and was replaced by Mahershala Ali. I don't even know where. Like, I have a guess, like five guesses of what that name can sound like, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to mispronounce it every single time. But Denzel Washington was originally cast in this movie.
What's that guy known for? That actor,
he was in House of Cards. Remember the black guy that was in that show? Not the guy that did all the barbecuing, but the other politician. He was with the white politician girl. I don't know if that narrows it down at all. No,
this guy said it was a black guy, not the one barbecuing.
No, like, nah, fuck you.
I know exactly what you meant. It was just funny how it came out. Yeah, it was the rib joint.
Yeah,
that's all he's been movie? In.
No. He's been in that. He was in the True Detective series, which fucking I don't even want to don't get me fucking started on that. It was the season three, I think.
I fall asleep.
Yeah, I fucking hate you so much.
Nah,
Literally everybody disagrees with you on that account.
no, they don't.
Let's see here. He was in, yeah, True Detective, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Hidden Figures. He was in Luke Cage series, which you've never seen. So, Free State of Jones, never saw that one. Yeah, honestly, not in a ton of stuff, to be honest with you.
He looked very familiar. That's what I was curious about.
Yeah, for those that are into the more like comic book stuff, he's supposed to be Blade and whatnot. Josh wouldn't know anything about that, so I will continue on. The bunker that is in this movie at the very end of the movie is manufactured by a company called Commodus Survival Shelters. Commodus was a, again, I think I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but it sounds like commode, so we're going with fucking Commodus, okay?
Oh,
He was a Roman emperor whose reign generally marks the end of the golden age of peace in the Roman Empire. So a bunch of little small details about the movie I'm about to spit at y'all. The radio frequency in Clay's car, 1619, is another reference to the White Lion ship. Besides the name of the oil tanker, the White Lion was the first ship to bring African slaves to English colonies in 1619. So
oh,
one thing about that particular little fun fact is towards the end of the movie, do you remember when they have when she goes into the bunker and she sees or he, yeah she sees all the food and supplies and whatnot?
yeah.
So, in that particular scene, if you zoom in or you look really closely to all the supplies that are in that little pantry section of the bunker, it's all stuff related to either homophobia or racism. Like, there's Uncle Ben, there's Aunt Jemima, there's like some Chinese food in there as well that has been known to be racist and shit like that. So the whole 1619 thing with African slaves, it kind of fits with a lot of the small details that the movie is kind of throwing out there to you. When trying
And
to
by the
figure
way,
what?
True Detective is where I know him from. He was Remy. Yeah, he was a big player in that movie. He looked familiar.
You watch True Detective?
No, shit. House of Cards, sorry.
Oh, I was like, what? This is a plot twist.
Yeah, and he's in the Green Book, and I really want to see that, but I can't find it anywhere.
The Green Book.
Yeah, it's on it. It's where it's he gets that mob guy to watch him because he's a homosexual pianist and performs.
I actually saw that on TikTok earlier today.
And I've always wanted to see it. It looks really good, but it's only on the Apple, I think.
Yeah, I saw the scene where they're in the car and he hands Viggo Mortensen hands him the bag of or the bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I was like, is this like a racism movie? Or I didn't know where the fuck they were going with that. So yeah, I'm kind of interested in watching that movie as well, sir. It looked good.
Sorry to interrupt.
When trying to figure out both the cause of this is a long fun fact, by the way. The cause of the piercing noise heard during the movie and the source of Archie's illness, one character mentions a microwave weapon, stating that one was used in Havana, Cuba. This is a reference to the so-called Havana Syndrome series of illnesses that struck some U.S. and Canadian diplomats, military personnel, and other government employees in Havana, starting in 2016. Clusters of people reported a variety of symptoms. Nausea, headaches, other pain, ringing in the ears, to cognitive dysfunction as well. Some reported having heard a piercing sound that preceded and seemed to precipitate the symptoms. But this was later debunked by media outlets. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt because we know how much they report on true news. Let's see here.
I
In the
said
first,
Havana like five times. That's a
I didn't say
lot.
Havana. No, this no, this fucking this fun fact had it in there, not me, sir.
You called it like you're educated, like Havana.
In the first 20 minutes, Clay and Amanda are playing Jenga. This foreshadows the societal collapse that Leave the World Behind is building towards. Later on, when the characters witness the announcement of a national emergency on television, the tower at last collapses as the symbolic representation of the danger that is about to unfold. And then the last fun fact that I have for y'all, one major symbol that reappears throughout is that of the deer. Now, this was one of the questions that I had for the movie. While Amanda first comments on their appearance, Clay is quick to assert that seeing deer is a good omen before clarifying, you know, at least according to Mesoamerican mythology. This clarification is necessary as in Greek mythology, a deer is associated with death due to Greek leader Agamemnon killing one in sacrifice to the goddess Artemis. So yeah, some decent fun facts right there to kind of highlight some of the smaller details of this movie.
Got a few. I'll give you that.
So what were your expectations going into this movie?
I really didn't have any. I did not watch a trailer. I completely watched about a 10-second TikTok on it. And then I was like, what's this all about? And it was popping up as being a top movie on Netflix. And I was like, I wonder why Matt hadn't said anything to me about it. And that's when I asked you about it. And so I just dove head first.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't know. I didn't watch a trailer. Did I watch a trailer? I'm not even 100% sure. It popped up on Netflix as coming.
Shout out.
Yeah, right. It showed up on Netflix as a look at a little preview saying, "Oh, coming in 2 days," and I was like, "Huh? Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke, and Mr. Ali is what I'm gonna call him from now on." Okay. I was like, those are some big ass actors in a movie. I'm gonna, and it's a like a, it kind of gave me like horror vibes from reading the synopsis. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm gonna read it, but not read it, watch it. And I didn't have super high expectations. I thought it was gonna be like a just a middle of the road Netflix movie, to be honest with you. And boy was I wrong. Boy was I wrong.
Boy, were you okay?
What did you think of Leave the World Behind?
Yeah, I'm good. I can pass.
Fuck this movie, man. Fuck this movie.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Man, fuck this thing.
So that's good. That's good because I fucking love this movie.
Love I have one movie. Big reason why I didn't like it.
The ending.
Well, okay, I got two. I got two.
Aw.
And I'll go ahead and tell you right now why. So you have A story, you have a B story, and sometimes they have a C story, right? The B story was their main storyline when the A should have been the storyline. So we're supposed to be watching a movie about the world ending, but we're watching about a stranger showing up into his house and everybody lying to each other the whole time. And then you got C over there in the background that you seen coming from a mile away. And then it just like no resolution.
What B and C stories are you talking about?
Okay, so the A story should be the end of the world. B should have been the characters interacting with each other when he showed up to the house. C is when the kid got bit by a damn spider or whatever the hell it was, and his dumbass is just pulling out his teeth.
Did you fucking watch the movie? There was no fucking spider in
I
this.
Mean, I've never had a tick, and all of a sudden, all my teeth fall out the next day.
Okay, so I feel like I may be wrong in this, okay, but I feel like I can convert you on this movie.
I feel like it wouldn't be tough, but we really didn't get a movie about the world ending.
No. So the backdrop of the movie is, quote unquote, the world ending. Okay, so that's not necessarily the main thing going on. The main thing is the characters and their interactions with each other, and them dealing with the host of problems that they have at that present time. What's interesting about this movie is, I will say this. I did not like the ending originally. When I was scrolling and seeing, like, okay, how much time do I have left in this movie? Because I feel like there should be like another hour in this when it got to the very end. And I was like, fuck, there's like 10 minutes left in this. How are they going to resolve any of this? And it basically just ends. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me, man? Like, I loved this movie up until the very fucking end. And it took me watching a couple of YouTube videos to see why the fuck they just ended it like that, or maybe along the lines of, is there going to be a sequel or something? They spoil the ending for you at the very beginning of the movie. So when they're in the car and she's trying to watch Friends, she has a conversation with her brother and she says, I really want to know what happens at the end. And because she loves the characters so much, she needs to know what happens at the end. And then the brother says, yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't care about them. Showing how insignificant those characters are in the grand scheme of things, in the grand world. So they're just a little blip on the entire world. So why should we care about these particular people? And maybe we shouldn't love these particular people. And I think they did such a great job of making you fall in love with all of these characters for different reasons, you know, with their interactions, their personalities, and whatnot. At the very end, you're like, well, fuck. I love these characters. Where's my resolution at? And the whole point of the movie is maybe we shouldn't have cared the entire time about them. And the whole Friends arc ties into the end of the movie. And then that's how it ends.
Yeah, I think y'all read way too far into that.
How do we read too far into it? It's literally in the fucking movie.
Here, I wish I could finish Friends, but since you don't care about the other characters at the end, I won't care. But the little girl gets to watch Friends. If that ain't a stretch, sir, I don't know what the
Shout out to that.
hell is.
No, fuck you. That's in the movie, man. That's the theme of the movie.
There's no way you would have picked up if you wouldn't have went back and watched YouTube that she was watching Friends and that little conversation, and that's why it ended like that, because it was insignificant and we shouldn't have cared.
I mean, to be fair, you're not wrong, but that's not the point. The point is, it was there. I just missed it, okay?
You missed something that wasn't there.
It was there. It's look, I for, you're not gonna know what I'm talking about in this regard, but it's like the band Sleep Token. And this is a weird analogy to compare them to. And for the people out there that are watching and listening to us, you'll kind of understand what I'm talking about. When Sleep Token came out with their new album, they were fucking go. They were like, had a map behind them connecting dots to fucking other albums and saying, oh, he did this. I'm like, bro, do you think they were really that smart and connected all that shit together for one album? Probably not. But I don't think that's the case with this particular movie because it fucking makes sense. And they do it multiple times throughout the entire movie. Like she is consistently talking about wanting to know the end of Franz. We want to know the end of this movie, but we don't ever get it.
Hey man, I'm feeling like you on that hill, you're gonna die on
I'm gonna fucking die on this hill, man.
it.
Look, this is one of my favorite movies of the year. Top 10. This is actually, I will go so far as saying
That is insane.
this is one of my favorite movies in recent memory. I don't know.
So insane.
I don't know of a movie that has recently come out that I have fallen in love with as much as I love this movie. Now, if you want to argue about...
I thought you fell in love with Backdoor Billy, the new release.
Is that a porno?
I don't know. I mean, you would know the titles better than me.
You fucking... you said it with confidence, sir.
I starred in it.
Are you the back door or are you Billy?
I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger.
You know what? I'm not going to answer that.
So I will give this movie credit on one thing. I have never hated one character more than any other movie ever. Ever.
What's that?
The Ollie's daughter.
Dude. Loved her character. Loved her character.
Two things. Armpit hair.
Did she have armpit hair?
Yeah, hell yeah, she had armpit hair. I'm surprised you didn't see Chewbacca trying to come out the bottom of his head. And I felt they made her into a race baiter the whole movie.
Well, the whole movie has racism tones throughout.
I don't understand why, though.
I mean, I can't give you all the answers.
I mean, it wasn't a movie for that. I don't understand. It didn't feel in the right place for me. I mean,
I think I guess if I had to make an educated guess on why there's like racism and shit like that kind of woven into the smaller details of the movie, I would say this is a movie about the world ending. And you could make the case that racism, for racism is one of the contributing factors to the end of the world. I mean, how many years ago, 2-3 years ago, there were fucking riots and shit like that based off of racism. So, I mean, you could probably tie it to that in this movie, with it being the end of the world.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I felt like it wasn't written like that. I felt like her character was written as she was racist toward white people. To me, that's what I picked up on. I mean, I just didn't understand the place it held in the movie. I understand that it's like that, but you know, at the same token, what did that add to the movie?
I don't know. To me, I think it's just one of those underlying smaller details for the movie. This is not one of those movies that is legitimately just gonna, here's a silver platter, and this is what we're trying to tell you. And I think the more you dive into the movie, the more you actually pay attention to it, the more you watch it, these smaller details you're gonna pick up on, and you're gonna get more out of the movie with kind of paying more attention to it. And hey, I told you before we did the review, I said people are either going to love this movie or hate this movie. Obviously, you fall in you and your dumb decision of not liking it, but hey, not judging. But I mean, wouldn't you agree? Don't you feel like this would be a movie that you're either going to love or you're going to hate?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I think the ending has a lot to do with how people feel about the movie.
I think if they would have did away with all the stupid ass animal scenes.
But I mean, I told you what that was for just a few minutes ago. It's Bad Omens.
Yeah, see, something like that.
I'm giving you the fucking facts here, and you're just like, nah, bro.
Also, we gotta have 45.
You're connecting dots that aren't there. What the fuck?
We got 45 minutes of Omens? I mean, come on.
No, it wasn't 45 minutes of Omens. Get the fuck out of here. You're so overdramatic.
Let's see. I've walked, in the last 3 weeks, I've watched a dude walk across Afghanistan. I watched the two drive across Afghanistan, and then I watched the Bambi Forest walk across wherever the hell they were at, Manhattan or whatever, Long Island, not sure. Let's not forget we've seen deer, flamingos, other birds, deers again, and then when they're in a little shed, deers again.
I mean, and a tick. I'm just saying, I think deer is just the plural of deer, by the way.
Fair enough.
I mean, I didn't want to loud cap you, but I felt like you fucking deserved it.
I'd have been disappointed if you wouldn't have took that.
What the fuck? What tick are you talking about?
The one that bit the kid. The son.
I don't remember there ever being a tick.
Then what was it? It was too quick. It was either a tick or a mosquito. It bit his ankle. Remember? And then he started running a fever. Then he got up and his teeth were falling out.
Yeah, that goes back to the Havana syndrome, where the loud noises, it's something to do with electromagnetic pulses or some shit. I'm not gonna pretend like I fucking know what it means, but they were saying that is why it was causing all those symptoms, and that's what Kevin Bacon's character at the very end was saying, that this was causing some of these symptoms.
I thought he said it was Lyme disease.
Well, no, they were saying they don't know if it. They were thinking that it was Lyme disease. They weren't thinking about it being a terrorist attack.
Then why did they give him medicine?
Bro, like a fucking doctor to you?
Well, I mean, apparently you're the fucking wizard on this movie with all your omens.
Omens? You're so fucking salty about that.
I mean, one omen I'm good with, not 45 minutes of them.
Oh, guys, all right. I want to be known that there are not 45 minutes worth of omens in this movie, okay?
You're right. They're 45 minutes of deers.
All right. What did you think about there's two sequences in the movie? Why the fuck were there balloons?
I was like, that was so weird because as soon as you moved your hand, they came up. I was like, that was like weird.
I'm not.
What are you, Richard Nixon over there?
World peace. So the one of the particular scenes I'm talking about is towards the end of the movie, and it's when they go over to Kevin Bacon's character's house, and they do the quick edits where it's back and forth between the mom and the other daughter, and then those two with Kevin Bacon, and it goes back and forth, and the music, the score for this particular scene, and there's one other towards the beginning of the movie, and it goes back and forth. I don't want to over-exaggerate how much I love this editing and with the score with this, but I fucking loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
I have no problems with the score. I kind of like some of the songs they had in it.
But do you know what I'm talking about? When they did the quick edits, they would go, it was back, it was when they were screaming at the deer and, you know,
just one of them or two?
Multiple. Several.
Oh.
Some would say a gaggle of deer.
Oh, hell.
Gaggle, gaggle.
That's what she said.
So yeah, the editing there plus the score just builds that tension. It seems like it lasts fucking forever, and it's so good. So good.
Hey, this is random. Is there a skull in there?
Oh, yeah, that's a
I was like, bro, that looks like a skeleton.
This is my dungeon. That's actually Tina. She pissed me off one too many times.
I mean, I'm a vote not guilty.
And this would be one of the kids. I'm gonna let you guess which one. It's weird. We haven't seen Presley around here much lately. Where's she at?
She's listening so
None.
good.
None. Just hanging around.
So
Yeah,
tell me what the point of the scene between Ollie and Julia Roberts when they're dancing. I didn't understand how that fit in.
I think that's just character interaction. I think that's just
Yeah, but
developing their characters.
they were about to bang.
They
I mean,
were about to bang.
what made it go that far?
What's interesting is because she was so like off put by him and she didn't fucking trust him, but then they go to that scene and it's like, bruh, y'all about to do it right here? Like your husband's in like the other room.
Yeah, I think he slipped her a roofie.
He slipped her roof. That's one thing about this movie, and it goes back to my original statement that I thought this was going to be like a horror movie to begin with, kind of with the world ending in the background, because it says two people show up. I was thinking like The Strangers, you know, and it plays as a horror movie when they show up, but then
yeah.
As you don't really know where the movie's going, it still has those horror kind of vibes to it. And then, like you said, like when he handed her a glass of wine, I thought he totally roofied her, to be honest with you. I was kind of waiting for something bad to happen. Like he was going to be like, what was that movie, The Price We Pay, that we watched several weeks ago? He was going to try to like taking her eyeballs out of her head. See, that's how fucking
I'm trying to remember.
memorable
I'm
it
trying to
was.
remember that damn movie. Yes, I'm like, I know we watched it, but I don't remember it.
See, that's why we should stay away from your fucking B-rated movies that you pick out.
Oh, because they have a story, an arc, and an ending. I understand. Yeah, I hate when movies make sense.
Are we talking about the same movie that we reviewed a few weeks ago? Because that did not have any of those things.
We're talking about The Omens. They were bad omens. You didn't pick up
oh,
on
it. Oh, fucking sweet Jesus. Omens this, omens that. Like, this dude is so butthurt about the omens.
Oh, man. But
But
I do need to discuss my favorite scene of all time in this movie.
Okay. Well, you say all time, you mean just favorite movie in the scene. Favorite
Oh,
scene
just
in the
this
movie.
movie, yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
yeah. When dude is punching a clown in the bed and it just fizzles out.
Wait, what?
When the son is in there, he has the picture of the chick in the bikini. And he starts trying to punch the clown, you know.
Oh yeah, I forget your daughter's been here.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, did I watch this movie actually? I was thinking you were making like a scary, you talking about a scary movie, like you know where he bangs the clown.
And it just like completely fizzled down. He's like. It was just acted so perfectly, man. I was like, I understand.
I respect it. I understand. I understand, man. I understand. No.
No, I was just, I don't know why that served a purpose in this movie, but I'm glad it was
Well,
there.
There's some dark humor woven in through this movie that was sneaky good. Like the beginning of the movie when they're on the beach, he's like, hey, so and so is like over here. Can we go check her out? You know, because it's like I don't know if he's dating her, or if he's trying to trying to give her a little sausage sandwich. I don't know what he's trying to do, but he wants to go see the girl. And they're like, that's an hour away. And then towards the end of the movie, he's like, hey, Sarah's over here. I don't remember her fucking name. Sarah's over here. And they all turn around like, who's Sarah? Like, they don't even fucking know who she is.
I didn't even catch that.
And I think there's moments like that throughout the entire movie. And Ethan Hawke is really good in this movie. And he has a lot of comedic beats that I really enjoy. Like, Like, I kind of laughed out loud.
Beats too.
The Sun had a lot of beats? Oh, he did.
It was a short song, though.
And I love how old girl's like, yeah, he was taking pictures of me. I was like, damn, bro. Like, you didn't even fucking
busted.
Make,
like,
could you make it a little more obvious?
Well, I mean, he was just standing up there like he was, I'm going to feel the horizon, the sun.
Right. Like, oh shit. Like, like, no, nah, I was looking over here. Not at you. But anyways,
I really wish we'd had more Kevin Bacon's character.
He was fucking dope.
And he was good in that. He was good in his scene.
I think all the acting for the most part was pretty good.
No, I can't argue with that. I just liked that character.
And can we, I think we have to mention this. Julia Roberts, has she aged at all? I feel like she
yeah,
looks
you didn't
the
see that. You didn't see that mummy looking motherfucker that was on the show?
Mummy motherfucker that was in the show.
Yeah, she aged.
And I don't think so, man. I think she looks good. I think she looks the exact same. I mean, hold up. I didn't say all that.
I mean,
that's the words of a guy that is limited on what he can say. But my point is, like, did you ever see the Ocean's movies?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. She looks the exact same as she did then, and that was fucking 15, 20 years ago.
I didn't realize they'd been that long. Bam.
Yeah, I think the last one came out in, what, 2008 or 9?
Oh,
like
Kiss.
That. Yeah, those were good movies. Fuck y'all.
I do. I liked them. I mean, I'm with you.
11's the best, but, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, those are good movies. Good movies. But yeah, man. Overall, I fucking loved it. I thought the acting was great, and yeah, it's a little light on actual story. It's more about character interactions. But I think the biggest thing about this movie was there was just so much that you could dive into and kind of overanalyze, and in your case, overanalyze the smaller details of the movie, and there's replayability with this movie, and you can go watch it multiple times. I mean, you're not going to
doubt that.
I would, if I had more time, I would watch this movie twice before doing this review. If I had more time.
So, wait, this guy last week did not like the movie because I can't figure out what.
Did you have a stroke?
Well, I'm trying to think how to put it, because like last week you didn't like that movie as much because of character interaction, but this one you're into it.
What do you mean? Because I felt like the character interactions weren't as developed last week. It's fucking 2.5 hours of them just fucking talking to each other a lot of the time. So, I mean, they better be able to develop those relationships.
I think possibly you like this movie because you're into those dialogue heavy movies, as to where I tend not to be. I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think when you said that we were going to watch this movie, I said, I would be very surprised if he ended up liking this movie. I was thinking maybe the tension would kind of grab you and maybe make you like it. It was kind of like a false hope kind of thing, but
you know, I think part of the problem could be maybe I was expecting some Last of Us type movie.
Wait, you watched The Last of Us?
Yeah, the narco guy and that little girl.
I didn't know you watched that show.
Yeah, I freaking love that show.
Oh, well.
And maybe that's what I was expecting, you know?
Oh
More of
yeah,
a
no, no,
more of a
it's not.
focus on like the actual ending and trying to get your place, you know, instead of as heavily dialogue heavy as this wasn't. It wasn't actually the main storyline, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely not The Last of Us. If y'all are out there out there thinking, oh, is this like a post-apocalyptic movie? It's not. Okay, there's some shit that happens during it that kind of propels the story forward a little bit, and there's like one scene where it actually showcases the outside world ending per se. But other than that, it's really just the characters just talking to each other and kind of dealing with the world ending, and that's really all it's about.
Yeah, it could have been my disconnect on it.
So this movie is obviously, I don't think this movie is as, you remember that movie X? So
No, I like that
obviously,
one.
yeah, that was a fucking good movie. I don't think this is as good of a movie as X, so don't take this the wrong way. I remember watching X and then being like, I want to fucking watch that again. And when I finished The World, Leave the World Behind, I kind of had that same feeling like, bro, I can fucking watch this again. I watched the last, I think, 30, 40 minutes again with Tina because she came in at the very end of the movie, and I ended up watching it without her, and she was like, are we gonna finish this movie? And I was like, fuck, I didn't realize you were watching it with me when I was in there watching it. But yeah, I mean, I'll finish it.
Usually you're
So
squawking in my ear the whole time.
I mean, I don't want to say she was acting like mama, but just saying. Why are they doing this? I don't know, motherfucker. I ain't watched
I
the
hadn't got to that part yet.
movie before. But yeah. What would you give this movie? I'll let you go first.
I'm gonna give it 2.5 almonds.
Two and a half omens. I'm not gonna lie, I like that.
I think that's basically, it's just not my area of movies. I am not a dialogue heavy guy. I need that story front to beginning. But I can understand how you enjoyed this movie, Ben, that you like, you know, you're really big into Quentin Tarantino, and it's kind of reminded me of a Tarantino film just not done as well.
I
And the dialogue, that's a
it's
little,
the dialogue. Okay. That's
that's a little, that's a little stretch.
I think that's unfair. Because his dialogue is just it's unrivaled. Like nobody can do what he does.
I retract what I say, because that is, as soon as I said that, I was like, no, Tarantino does it so much better, because he freaking makes me laugh with the dumbest stuff. So
It
yeah,
makes me want to go watch the Hateful Eight again, man. Nah, that's so fucking good. So fucking
I
good.
might have to check it out, because I really like Django.
It's well, the thing with Django is that one takes you through different scenes, whereas Hateful Eight takes place in one shack the entire movie, and it just has characters interacting with each other. So I don't know if it's your kind of movie. Like, it's not Pulp Fiction or anything like that. It's legitimately one location, and they go outside like once.
Yeah.
Looks like you have it. But it's hilarious, so that's the key. So, thinking about where I'm going to rate this, I'm gonna give it 4 stars, man. I thought it was great. I absolutely love this movie. I think
What?
you can do it.
Finish.
I typically do, sir.
Finish him.
this is definitely going to be in my top 10 when it's all said and done. I don't think there are enough movies to kind of push this out of the top 10 at this point. But yeah, I absolutely love this movie. I thought it was great. 4 stars. If you're into more dialogue heavy movies with some like kind of like some dark humor kind of woven in through there, with a post-apocalyptic, not post-apocalyptic, like current apocalyptic world going on in the backdrop. I think this is definitely a movie that you should go check out.
What did you give The Boy in Striped Pajamas?
It was a three. Yeah.
I don't see how that movie was not as good as this one. I propel that one far ahead of this one.
I gave it 3.5. Sorry. 3.5.
I'm sure you did give it 3.5.
I'll give you the best 3.5
in your life. I'm just curious. Do you consider that a movie for the year since you watched it this year, or is that just movies that came out in 23?
What you mean?
Your top 10.
It's strictly movies that released in 2023.
Okay. I figured that much. I was just curious.
Yeah, there's... I think the last time I checked, there's like 15 to 20 movies that I have not watched for this fucking list. And it's mainly because they're not on streaming services and they want you to pay $20 a fucking pop to watch all these movies. And I'm like, God damn, man. Like, how does anybody afford to see all this shit?
And you know what's crazy, though, is I loved the dialogue in The Boy in Striped Pajamas, and especially between the two boys. And that was your one focus on not liking that movie was you know, some of their dialogue. But
that's no.
Hold on, that's where you took the hit at. That's where the score took the hit at.
It was, but it wasn't because I didn't enjoy the scenes between the boys and anything like that. It wasn't because of the dialogue. I wanted more of it. I felt like I needed more of it to build that relationship. I don't feel like I got enough with that movie. That was the issue. It wasn't like, oh man, I think this is like dog shit. I think this is like fucking hot dog water in terms of fucking dialogue and whatnot. It wasn't any of that. It was just, I don't feel like they explored that relationship enough.
The hell wrong with hot dog water?
Sorry, have you ever tasted hot dog water?
No, I'm normal.
Well, the child sitting right next to you, she smells like hot dog water, so... Damn.
Uncle Matt said you smelled like hot dog water. tell him what he smells like.
You smell like relish, a dead rat, and a dead frog.
And the fucking thumbs up on the fucking screen.
And she smells, you smell like a dead omen.
A dead omen? Oh, yeah, fair enough. What'd you end up scoring this movie?
I already told you, bro. 2.5.
You didn't fucking tell me that.
Yeah, I did.
Nah, I'm like, you didn't. You fucking lied.
Yeah. No, because right after that, I mentioned Quentin Tarantino, and I was like, oh, wait, I got to back that up.
I don't know. I feel like that's a bad omen.
You were quick to jump out of the Tarantino girl fan club and come chase me down.
Hey, I fucking love Tarantino, man. I fucking love me some Tarantino, man. He's my favorite director.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it just wasn't my genre of movie.
That's fair. And like I said, when you watch this movie, you're either going to like it or you're not, I think. And a lot of what your opinion is going to be is going to be based on the ending of the movie.
I'm going to have to disagree. I don't find that connecting, the ending that we talked about. Just don't see it.
Whatever, man. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him fucking drink. Or let me rephrase that. You can lead a horse to hot dog water, but you can't make him fucking drink it. That's a fucking bad omen. Well, guys, that is going to be it from us. Leave us a comment below. If you're on YouTube watching us, there you can also go catch us on any of the podcast listening apps. And if you're on Spotify, you're watching us there, or you can go catch us on YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all that bullshit. Really helps us out. But next week, I'm thinking Oppenheimer, finally.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking that's going to be the movie for next week. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting. I have mid expectations for it. I'm like, is this gonna be a movie that I'm gonna love? We'll see. But yeah, y'all go ahead and check out that movie in preparation of our review for next week, and we will catch y'all then on another episode. Laters.
Omen, bitches.
Bad omens, bitches.